Welcome to Mimiki TV. Get ready to break through barriers, fuel your faith, pursue your purpose, and market your message so you can impact the marketplace for God.
Come and enjoy a conversation I had with Dr. Pam Morrison on her podcast, Rooted by the Stream. Enjoy.
I have had grown up in a very traumatic environment. The serial entrepreneur father, we always had people in and out the house. We had a construction business, so there was never peace in our home. And of course, as things go with families, there's unfortunately a breakdown. And then my parents got divorced when I was 10. And then I got bullied at 13. So I kind of always felt like the weirdo, like the odd one out. I never quite fit in with what the world was doing. So I pretty much kept to myself and tried to stay out of trouble. But at the same time, I was always trying to get attention and get approval and getting straight A's and, doing everything that I was told to do to be a good girl. And yes. Eventually I'd realized those habitual ways of functioning and thinking started to determine my trajectory, and it started to change the way I sort of saw life. And so for me, it was all about, what can I do to not feel stupid? What can I do to show people that I've got value? And of course that dirtied the whole outlook of where God really wanted to use me. But at the same time, He still uses everything we go through. Nothing is wasted. Through this process, 2016 was a horrific year for me. It was like the perfect storm. I was struggling with my business, having a hard time, physically feeling exhausted. I was running on, burning the wick on both ends. Just was really pushing myself beyond. I'd had my third baby in 2010, and I never really gave myself enough time to really heal from that. I just kept going from one project to the other. Then in the early 2016, we've been having issues with one of our kids and, being depressed and not feeling motivated and really struggling with school. And for me, I'm a non-traditionalist. I'm always like, if this ain't working, I need to find another way. That's the entrepreneur in me. Like, this school system ain't working for me. Being told by teachers and psychologists, oh, you need to medicate your child. You need to do this, and your child isn't doing this. And I was like, listen, something's not right. If the system isn't working for my child, my child needs to be taken out of the system. But what happened is, I was away at a conference, and I remember my husband phoned me. This was around about February 2016, and he says, something is seriously wrong with our child. And I was like, what is going on? So I just knew, as a mother's instinct, you might be miles away, but that something's wrong. So yes. I tried to get out of there as soon as I could. And when I got home, my child couldn't get out of bed, depressed, was on the point of being suicidal. And I was like, oh my gosh. I awakened in that moment thinking that I have been in denial. I've been denied the signs that eventually this has come to such a serious head, I need to do something. And then, trying to deal with that and dealing with pulling them out of school and looking at different ways of educating. So, back then, doing online school was not a thing. Now it's popular. So of course we were setting the trend back. But not long after that, about 6 weeks later, my mother-in-law, who had been suffering with cancer, passed away. Now, she was a very strong Christian. She taught me a lot about the healing. I had met my husband when I was 16, and she'd helped me go through a lot of prayer and inner healing. And so her and I were very close. And when I saw her suffer the way she did, and then she went through, she had a brain tumor and colon cancer, and she eventually had chemotherapy and radiation. She lost the use of her legs. And seeing her, she was in South Africa, and we were still living in the States, but going through this process, I kept asking God, why are you allowing her to suffer? How is it that somebody who loves you so much, is on fire for you, is going through such immense pain? So you can imagine, all the prayers and the hope for healing got shattered when she passed away, and my faith got rocked. I was so angry at God. I was like, how can you let this happen? Besides her passing away and the issues I had with my child and my business falling apart, I was like, my body was physically exhausted. I literally hit burnout and couldn't move. For 3 months, I literally couldn't stop crying. I was in my pajamas. My husband was like, I don't know what to do with you. He's like, oh my gosh. Men are fixers. They want to fix it. He couldn't fix it. And really what it did, it got me to the situation where I was on my back and laying there thinking, God, you're going to have to do something, because I don't know what's going on. And instead of fighting it and getting offended by the situation and saying, I'm not going to receive that, I don't have a problem, I decided to press in and to really learn, okay, God, what is it that I need to learn? And really, Once you make a decision to allow God to teach you and show you and you stop resisting, it's amazing how quickly the growth happens. And quickly after that, I got consumed with, you know, books and courses and research and looking into things, anything from how to deal with anger to the neuroscience, like especially with how do you deal with, what is the roots of depression? Like, and from a spiritual side, like what and the process, I'd realized a lot of the problems stemmed with me. That even though I was dealing with a very difficult situation with my family, a lot of it had roots of rejection or unforgiveness. Or self-pity, or offense towards others, and even words of judgment and criticism I spoke of others and of myself. God took me through a really deep, you know, soul healing process of digging out the junk, going through it, filtering it through. It's kind of like spring cleaning for your soul, right?
Yes.
And painful, you know, to have to admit that I had a problem with pride, or I had to admit I had a problem with perfectionism. You know, every part of this I had to learn through this process. So even though outwardly people are like, oh, well, this is happening to me, you know, woe is me, I'm going to fall apart. I was like, no, something has to change. So if I'm the problem, let's get to work fixing it. So the whole book was really a journaling process I went through. And as I was writing it, the Lord's like, I want you to share this. I'm like, oh, no, we're not. This is ogling. Yes. Don't you know that snot crying, like tears running down your face? Like, I never want anyone to hear about that. But I was like, okay, God. Eventually he wore me down and said, you know, there is purpose in your pain. What you're going through right now, somebody else is crying for a solution, is praying and pleading with me for a solution, but not many people are prepared to put themselves out there on the line and say, okay, God, use me. So I was like, okay, you kind of like, you know, cover my eyes and take the step and just hope and pray for the best.
Yes.
It was like an act of faith. And the book was published in 2018, the 2-year anniversary of my mother-in-law's passing, in celebration of Mother's Day. And really, you know, even though it's written from a mother's perspective, I have had so many people reach out to me, fathers and grandparents and, you know, even kids and single women who have said they really have learned a lot from it because they could see themselves in my story. And that's what I've realized is what it means by there's power in our testimony. When we're scared to show our wounds and to show our story, we could be depriving someone of a breakthrough. So if we are prepared and are willing to say, okay, God, I'm going to be brave enough. I'm going to put myself out there. I know this is scary, but you use me as you wish. People, it's surprisingly, you think you're going to get criticized, but people are like, I've been through that. Me too. I've experienced that. And if she can get through it, I know that I can. So I just want to encourage you that every one of us has a story. Be willing and have the courage to step up and share, because there is power in your testimony to break people from bondage, and it has an immense power to enact God's story, because we are his history. It's his story lived through us. So hopefully that's anyone else who's thinking of sharing or even writing a book. I totally believe, you know, after doing a lot of study on neuroscience, we can change the way we think. And for me, my background is I'm a delicate ballet dancer. I grew up learning classical ballet. I never learned to skate as a kid. But at the age of 33, I took my eldest daughter to a skating party and was like, this feels like flying. I want to do this. So over the last 10 years, I have been working with a coach, and I have taken this and used it as a personal mission to retrain my muscle memory. So after 18 years of ballet, I've been able to relearn. Like, you can teach a dog, old dog, new tricks. I've been able to relearn and remap my brain to think in different ways and to learn something new, and constantly challenging myself. The reason why I love figure skating is you never arrive. You know, you can do something great and you get fit, but then if you let go and you fall off the training schedule, you kind of go backwards a little. So it's kind of frustrating, but it's also very motivational, because if I have a goal that I want to achieve and I work with it then step by step and I'm willing to do the work, go through the process, and believe me, you fall a lot. As an adult, it hurts a lot more to fall than, you know, kids have this, okay, cool, let's do this. And they don't overthink things. But as adults, it's everybody knows it's really hard to teach an adult, because we overthink and analyze everything. Is it bliss? Yes. Is it a little right? The reason. And so my coach and I, we have this understanding. She just rolls her eyes. She goes, you're doing it again. Just be quiet and do the moves. Let's just do it again. And I'm grateful for that. It helps me look at life the same way, that often life feels like we are skating on thin ice. We are on this tiny little blade. We know that we're on this hard surface that if we fall, it's going to hurt. But if we are able and willing enough to take the risks of falling, because sometimes falling, it's good to fall. You realize you get stronger. If you're willing to get up again and just try it again. And oftentimes it's not necessarily about trying something fancy. It's about just doing the same thing over and over until you get that muscle memory and retraining your thinking and retraining your body and retraining your whole habitual way of looking at life and just saying, okay, this is a challenge. This feels scary and it feels new. But I know we can do this if I just follow and trust the process. So for me, it's a personal goal setting thing, and I still do it. Sometimes, well, I'll admit, oftentimes I'm like, oh, I don't want to go. I don't feel like it. I just want to stay in my pajamas. It's like, see you there on Tuesday. I'm like, okay. books are like babies. They need to be birthed, and they decide when they want to be birthed. And so I often think about marinating and thinking of ideas, and then when I'm like, okay, it's time to sit down and get this baby done. So right now I'm in that stage where I'm collecting information, and the book is called The Heart of a Champion: How Ordinary People Achieve the Extraordinary with God. And I'm doing a lot of research on biblical characters as well as, you know, pop culture characters, and just really sharing how God can use anybody if we are willing and able to say yes and are ready to partner with him. I mean, even the likes of, you think of David, you think he was something special, right? We all look at these biblical characters and think they were so special. No, they weren't. They were just ordinary people like you and me who said yes to God and decided that they were going to partner with God's plan and were willing to be able to just be real and transparent, and just with their flaws and mistakes and all, God was still able to use them. So I'm really excited about this one because I know it has a broader reach in terms of understanding that a lot of us have a champion within us. And it just is a matter of finding the pieces and going through the process. And I have like a 15-step process that I've looked at over analyzing a lot of these things that a lot of us can follow and replicate if we just trust the system and follow along with God's plan. Just be encouraged that, you know, there's always someone else who needs to hear your story, that no matter what you're going through right now, you know, stay strong, you know, rely on God's word, press into what he has to say for your life. Forget about the rest. Like, just put those blinkers on. It's so much more peaceful just staying in your lane and realizing God has something for you. And just know, you know, even as the seasons are changing, and for many of us that, you know, moving out of your comfort zone feels really scary. But on the other side of the comfort zone is where the grass is ready to be grown in, and where you can plant things and grow. And it's just so much good on the other side. So I think we can just stay encouraged and stay out of fear. And that'll be great. But are you ready to grow? Come join our group mentorship to stretch yourself and reach your full potential. Go to mamikakuni.com to reserve your seat today.
Mm-hmm.